Good morning. We're going to start from the. We're going to just read over the Mishnah. You know, we went through the sugya already last 2 weeks ago, just to refresh the olam. So we'll go through the Mishnah, and then we'll talk outside the Nakudis and the Gemara that are Negea. So the Mishnah on Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph states, "Hamoicha bayis bebotei reichoima." If somebody sells a home in a botei reichoima, which will be defined, we'll see next week the sugya. What's called botei reichoima? You have up until 12 months to redeem the house, which at that point, the house becomes cholot to the person you sold it to. They can't get the house back anymore. Now, at the time of the redemption, the Mishnah seems to be learning you give him the full value that he paid for the house. So technically, the use that he had for the house during the 12 months was free, because you gave him back the full value of the money. So that's the Mishnah says, that this is like ribbis. Hareze kimin ribbis v'enei ribbis. It's like ribbis, but it's not ribbis. It's not clear why it's like ribbis, it's not clear why it's not ribbis, but the Mishnah says it's mutter. Meisa moicher yigal benoi, meisa lekeach yigal miyad benoi. Doesn't have to be the original buyer and seller. It could be their children. Ein moinin shono, the year is counted from the original sale date. Misho shemocha. Shenemar melois loi shono. That means if a buyer A sells it to buyer B, the original seller only has the remainder of the year to redeem it back. The clock doesn't start ticking again. Why does the Torah use a lashon tamima to include the extra month? If you have a leap year, so you have 13 months. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, litein loy shana v'ibura. He says, no, you only have the ibur of the year itself, which means you give him the extra days of the solar year over the lunar year. Now, what happens if the 12th month passed and he didn't redeem it? That's it. Now it's done. Whether it was given as a present or a sale, it's the same thing. 1 year you can redeem it back and then it's done. That's the mission. Okay, so very similar to what we had in Stei Achuzah, we had the same Shiloh over here. How to learn this first year? Is it a complete sale with a pidyon? Meaning the sale is completed at the time when you sell the house. Technically, it's like you're selling him the house forever now. And then the Torah gave an outside koyach to the moicher to go and redeem it and break the sale. Or is it that for the first year, it's roifeif? It's not really a complete sale for a year. At the end of the year, it turns into a sale. Those are the two ways, obviously, to learn. And as we explained 2 weeks ago, the ribbis only seems to be any issue if you learn it's not a sale. If you learn it's a real sale, so ribbis doesn't play a role. If I sell you my house and I buy the house back from you a year later, there's no problem of ribbis, the fact that you use the property in between. It's not ribbis, it's not avak ribbis, it doesn't look like ribbis, it has nothing to do with ribbis. So if you learn that when I redeem my house back from you, it's a new sale, I sold you my house, and now I bought my house back, so the element of ribbis is not even a question. So that seems to be clear proof that it's not a sale. That seems to be a clear proof that it's not a sale. But that it's not a sale. Because if it would be a real sale, there wouldn't be ribbis. The fact that the Mishnah says, Harei ze ribbis, and the Gemara explains that really it is ribbis, but either it's a tzarechot ribbis, because we don't know for sure that you will redeem it or you won't redeem it. What do you mean? There's no shaykhis to ribbis. So that seems to be a raya chaluta. Seems to be very clear that it is like a loan for the first year, at which point it rolls over and it turns into a sale. That's what it seems. The problem we have with this with learning this way is, as we go on in the sugya, we saw that this doesn't really flow. First, let's go to the next Mishnah. On Amud Beis, the Mishnah on the bottom. The Mishnah over there says, Barishayno yenitman yem shneim osochedish kidei sheicholut loy. The Mishnah says that there used to be that for, there was a shtick that the guy would do the last day of the month, the end of the year, the guy would bury himself somewhere. This is the buyer. The buyer would bury himself somewhere so you won't be able to redeem it back. And then, too bad on you. Right? Kidei sheicholut loy. So that the sale should be completed. Hiskin Hillel. You put the money into some container, and that's it. And that's it. You could go back to your house. The other guy could come now and take the money. Clearly, Hillel HaZaken had to be misakin this thing because there was a problem that people would manipulate that at the end of the year, so you shouldn't be able to redeem it back. Okay? So now you have to analyze like this. Why don't we say that if the guy manipulates you at the end of the year, so too bad on him? Why is it too bad on you? Hillel HaZaken had to make a takana and say, now I'm making a takana, you put the money into a neutral place, you put it into some kind of lishka, and that's it. Why did Hillel have to do that? Why couldn't we just say, you're an anus? You tried to redeem it, didn't work out. Why is it? Why did Hillel have to make a takana? Why couldn't you just come to Bezdin and say, Rabbi Yisai, I want to redeem it back. The guy's playing shtick with me, and he's not letting me redeem it back. So too bad. So why is too bad on me? Why did Hillel HaZaken have to come and make a takana? And the Gemara, in fact, starts off with that. The Gemara says, Omar rove mi takanoso shel Hillel HaZaken. If a guy tells his wife that you're megureshes on the condition that you give me 200 zuz, and she gives it to him without his das, so the Gemara says it doesn't work. So the Gemara really is dealing with this. The Gemara says it sounds like without Hillel being misakin, it would be too bad on you. You couldn't just put the money in a place and say it's given back. That's the way the Gemara seems to learn. Now, l'chayra, it should depend totally on our shayla. If you learn that the sale is a complete sale, when you sell it to him, it's a sale forever. It's just that the Torah gave you a schus to redeem it back. So now, if for whatever reason it didn't work out for you, it's your problem. The sale was already completed originally. We don't need anything at the end of the 12 months to activate. It was already activated. Everything already happened when you bought the property. You bought the property, it's your property forever. Now the guy has a schus to redeem it, that the Torah gave him a schus to redeem it. And if you played shtick not to let him have that schus, okay. So, You're not a nice guy. You're not a nice guy. And Hillel HaZaken came and he made a takona, so you shouldn't get away with it. Yeah. But if you learn that the original sale is not a complete sale, what basically happens is there's an arrangement that if I don't redeem it back for 12 months, now it rolls into a sale. Okay. So it should never roll into a sale. If you're stopping me, so you're not allowing me to do what I gotta do. So now it shouldn't become a sale. It really totally in what's happening at the end of the 12 months. If the end of the 12 months we're waiting for an activation, we need something to activate, then logic dictates that if you stop me from being able to redeem it, it should be your problem. Because I'm an oinus. It's like you put a gun to my head to sell you something. See what's really, let's explain, let's get this clear. What's really happening is like this. I'm selling you a field. So, when I go out originally and I sell you the field, why am I selling you the field? What's the condition of the sale? So if you learn that it's a Mechira Gemura, I'm basically saying, listen, David, as of today, this field is yours. Period. But the Torah, I'm not even making an arrangement with you, really. As far as the deal between me and you, sale is complete. Done. The Torah HaKadosh gave me a right to come to you and redeem the field. No different if the Torah would have said that Yankiv could come and redeem the field. It's not that there's a shear, there's something lacking in the sale. The sale is complete. The only thing is, the Torah gave me a right to come and redeem it. Okay. Now, if you stop me from redeeming the field back, it's no different than Chaim Yankel stopped me from redeeming the field. What would be, I got into my car to go to drive to your house to redeem the field back, and a guy came with a gun, and he shot my tires. So now I couldn't redeem the field. Okay. Too bad. It's of no consequence. I sold David the field. It's done. It was a miss. So now, what happens if the guy himself who bought the field was the one that shot your tires? Okay. So he shot my tires. What's the difference who shot my tires? The end is, I made a complete sale 12 months ago, and that sale was not pending anything. That sale was complete. It's not waiting for another occurrence to happen. It's done. But if you learn that what's really happening is I'm selling you a field in 12 months from now. Right now, it's like a loan. And my condition with you is that if I don't pay you back the loan, that's sort of what it's like. If I don't give you back the loan money, now this is going to turn into a sale. Then really, at the end of the 12 months, me and you are engaged in a deal. I'm not paying you back, and I'm selling you the field. So then, if that's being done, if that's being manipulated, it shouldn't be chal. No different than if you took a gun to my head and forced me to do something that I don't want to do. Exactly. The fact that it happens to be that it's that guy that's causing the problem should be of no consequence. Should be of no consequence. There should be... It's really totally in this one nekuda. Is there an activation happening at the end of the year, or is there not an activation happening at the end of the year? Well, so far we didn't even talk about tonight. We spoke about two options. Either it's a sale now, or it's a sale in 12 months from now. You're raising a new possibility. There's an asivist that wants them, we'll see. Maybe that's another option. Oh, okay, so this Gemara, the Gemara with Takanas Hillel, is pulling us in the direction that it's a sale. You follow? The fact that Hillel had to come in and say, one second, really this guy's going to get away with it. So we have to make a Takana to make sure he doesn't get away with it. The fact that we needed him to do that seems to imply that the sale is completed already. And therefore, if somebody does shtick with you, too bad, you already sold your field. So this sugya seems to go in the direction that it's a sale. Our sugya, seems to say it's not a sale because our sugya says there's a ribbis question. And both shittas, pretty much, hold on to these two views. Meaning, the nesivus learns it's more of a halva. And he says, my raya is, I don't know if the Olam saw the nesivus, but the nesivus says that my raya is the fact that there's a ribbis question. Why is there a ribbis question? If you look down in the Nesivus by the small Lamed Aleph, you guys got it in brackets. The Ein Devar of Nechoinim. His words are not right. He says, the bias bebotar echoima, Muchach Be'erchim. Says the Nesivus, it's Muchach in Meseches Erechim, the Havi Alvor. It's a loan. So the Nesivus learns that it's a loan. The first 12 months is a loan, and he uses our proof. He says, because the Omar Hosom Ribis Gemura, Vateri Tila. He says, the fact that the Gemara says that this is Ribis, and the Torah permitted it, proves that it's a loan. Because if it would be a sale, there would be no issue of ribbis. The fact that ribbis is brought into the picture is a raya that it's alone. That's the nesivus. Okay? Lu'umazeh, on the other side, the ktsois feels that the sugya later is like mashma not that way. That it's actually a sale. And if Hillel HaZaken wouldn't have come in and manipulated it and said, then you'd be stuck, you'd be out your money. So really we have two different messages here. Now we have a Tosfos that seems to also bring in these two possibilities. Because the Mishnah said that Matana has the same din as a Mecher, which by the way, that alone brings into question our Chakira. Because L'chora, if you learn that the reason why I could redeem the field back for the first year is because the sale is incomplete, okay, if that's how you learn, so then it would stand to reason that if I gave you a Matana, I shouldn't be able to redeem it back at all. I gave you a present. We don't have a question what I did. You follow? When I sell you a Bate Arichayma, so we can have a Shaila, am I engaged in selling or am I engaged in taking out a loan for 12 months? But if I give you a present, we don't have a Shaila what you're doing. You're giving him a present. Is that? There is no Shaila. So L'chayma, if you learn that for the first 12 months, right, it's hanging because it's like you made a deal with him, so then by Matana it should be a non-issue. Yet our sugya says that Matana has a din of a mecha, same thing, which would seem to stand to reason that really it's a complete sale. It's just that the Torah gave you a right to buy it back. Then it's logical, just like you could buy it back after a sale, you could buy it back after a gift. You're buying it back. The Torah gave you a right within the first year to buy it back. Shouldn't make a difference. If I sold it to you, I gave it to you as a gift. That's what would be. Now, Reb Meir holds that Mecher and Matana are different. So he holds the din of the Mishnah does not apply. That means if I give you a field Matana, you don't have the din of the Mishnah. Okay, so now let's analyze. So what should be the din? If Matana and Mecher are different, what should be the din? So it should be totally an Archakira. If you learn that it's a real sale, then it should be done with. Because really, whenever I sell you my house, about the Erech Chaim, it's sold to you forever. It's just that the Torah came and gave me a right to redeem it back. So if the Torah doesn't talk about it by Matana, so it should be left with the Iker Din, sold. If you learn, however, it's the other way around. When I sell you the field, it's really, I'm not selling it. I'm really just saying that if I don't redeem it back, then it's yours. So if the Torah didn't set any standard, maybe you could always redeem it. You follow? Maybe you're left with an endless redemption option. If you look at Tosfos. Tosfos says, the Irab Meir Ha'oma Matona Ina Kamecha. On Omid Beis, the Tosfos Divrei Hamaschil, the Irab Meir. Yesh Loimar Tosfos says, he could never redeem it. What does Tosfos mean? That's the first far I told you. Because then it's a regular sale. You're left with a regular sale without the problem of the ability for him to redeem it. So it's sold, period. But then he says, if you go on, so Tosfos is not clear in this issue. I would say that Tosfos Chakira is our Chakira. That itself for the Tutzdodim of Tosfos. Meaning, the absence of the Torah talking about redemption by a Matana, where does it leave us? So it all depends on what the sale is like. If the sale before the redemption is a complete sale, and the Torah didn't talk about the redemption factor by Matana, so then it's his right away. That's what Tosfos says at the beginning. Can't redeem it back ever. Can never redeem it. Because the sale's a sale, and the Torah never spoke about the conditions of redemption. But if you learn, you're getting confused between two things here. First thing I said was maybe Matana shouldn't be treated like a sale at all, and it shouldn't fall under the category at all of what we discussed. That was our first. Then I said, and if it does, let's say matana will be treated like a sale. Now we have to know, la'aloche, how long would you be able to redeem it? So Tosfos seems to be saying, on the tzad, that in fact, the matana would be treated like a sale, but without a posuk. There's no posuk telling us what the guidelines are. So Tosfos gives two approaches. Approach number one, you could never redeem it. Mamish two extremes. Approach number two, you can always redeem it, even after Yovel. You can always redeem it. It's like pulled in two opposite directions. I think, even though Tosfos doesn't explain what his tzedakah are, I think these are his tzedakah. If you learn that whenever you give a home in a Bat Yerei Chaima, you sell it to somebody, the sale is not a sale. It's just that afterwards, when you don't redeem it, it turns into a sale. So if we have no guidelines on the redemption process, we'll say, okay, it stays forever in this quasi-state that you could always take it back. If you, however, learn that when you sell a house in Bat Yerei Chaima, it's a permanent sale, it's just that the Torah was machadish, that you could buy it back. So if the Torah wasn't machadish that, you're left with the original sale. That's the No, first time Torah says you can't even redeem it for the 12 months. Second time. If you could redeem it forever, what Torah is basically saying is, you're left with this quasi-sale without a limitation. So it all goes back to this one point. The fact that I have 12 months to redeem the field back, am I activating a sale by not redeeming it back? Or the sale has already been activated, and now I'm doing a new transaction. Now I'm buying the field back from this guy. Who gave me the right? The Torah gave me the right. That's all. That's clearly the two different approaches how to learn throughout the sugya from the beginning to the end. Twice the second side. Again, the Torah was machadish. This is our baseline. Our baseline is the Torah was machadish, that when I sell you a home in an enclosed city, I have an ability to redeem it back within a year. Let's go this way. Take a step back. I have ability to redeem it back. Period. Let's forget about the year for a moment. The Torah said that even after you signed a contract on the property and you seemingly sold him the house forever, you have an ability to redeem it back. Now, the question is, when the Torah gave you that ability to redeem it back, was the Torah saying that you could engage in a new transaction and buy the field back from the guy you sold it to? Or was the Torah saying that his ownership, the second guy's ownership, has not yet been chal until you do not take your option of redeeming it back? Those are the two models. Now, if we extend it over and we say that matana also logically goes under the same banner, we're going to have the same shiloh. The shiloh is going to be, when I give you a present, does the present become chal immediately? Or does the present chal when I do not exercise my rights of redemption? Comes Tosfos and says that if you hold that we cannot apply the rules of sale to a matana, so there are two possibilities what the outcome would be. Possibility number one, you can always redeem it. Possibility number two, you could never redeem it. Tosfos doesn't explain to us one of these two tzedakim. I'm trying to give you an explanation. What Tosfos is basically saying is that the base, what you'll be left with is your baseline sale, which is either a sale or not a sale. So if the Torah was mechanished that by Bat Yerei Chaima, it's not a sale. It's almost like you need two steps. It's like by Kiddushin, you have Kiddushin and Nisuin. Yeah? So by Bat Yerei Chaima, you have a Mechira, and then a giving up your right of Pediyah, and then the sale is Chal. It's almost like you put a rider on the contract. this sale is going to be activated after such and such and such. So part of it is, this sale is going to be activated after I do not exercise my rights of redemption. So comes Tosfos and he says, if that's what the Shtar states, and by Matana, the Torah gave you no limits as to when you could redeem it, you may be left with a forever pending contract. Because the Torah never gave a limit how, when you could redeem it back. So it stays like that forever. That would be what, L'chor, what he's saying. Okay, so now, we really have, so again, we have to have some clarity in this. We have to know, bridge the sugyas. How does the Ribbis sugya fit with the end of the sugya? The Ribbis sugya seems to say it's a loan, which is like the Nesivis. The sugya of Hillel HaZaken that says that you can, he'd be able to manipulate you and you would be stuck, seems to say it's a sale. Tosfos seems to be telling us it could be either one. It's not Muchach, Tosfos saying. You could learn like this and you could learn like that. But it's good to have the option how to learn, but the fact is that our sugya seems to pull us in the loan direction completely, and the next sugya pulls us completely in the direction that it's a mechir. So we're really stuck. We're stuck here. So I wanted to give you a little bit of a beer just to add one added component to the problem. Why does our Gemara Bechlal entertain that this is a halva? Why go in that direction? In other words, we go in. The fact is that the Torah gave you a year you could redeem the field back. Okay? What in the world made our Gemara say that this is a loan? And then you introduce all the Ribbis problems. Why did the Gemara even do that? Just say it's a sale. And finished. What forced our Gemara to say, going like the Nesivis? The Nesivis learns that our Gemara is saying clear it's a loan. Okay? We buy that. But even after we buy that, why did our Gemara go that way? Oh, but the Mishnah used the Lashon. Harezik Ribbis Vani Ribbis. So the Gemara could have had the option of saying, you know what? It's like Ribbis because it looks like when you redeem it back, like maybe it was a loan, but it really is not a loan. The Gemara is the one that says it's Ribbis Gemura. This is really Ribbis. So why is the Gemara introducing that? It's Ribbis Gemura. Why? Just say it's a sale. I sold it to you and you're selling it back to me. You have no problem. What's forcing this whole halvoy issue? So last week we brought down, 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, we brought down the Mogen Avraham, Shailin Halochim. If somebody goes and he pushes off davening, supposed to daven is Mount Filler. He pushes it off. He says, I'll daven later. At the time that he pushes off this mantfila, he was not an oinus. He could have davened. He decided he's not going to daven now. Daven later. Then later comes, he becomes an oinus. So let's say that mantfila is 9:30. Okay, so 8 to 9, he's reading the newspaper. He's not an oinus. 9 o'clock, he gets our telephone call. He got to go to save somebody's life. He misses mantfila. Do we view him as a oinus? Do we view him as a mezit? Nafkemina is, does this guy daven two tfilas? If you're a mezit, you don't get the extra tfilah. You don't get the bonus tfilah. So the Mogen Avraham discusses the shaila based on the Shulchan Aruch's din here in Aruch Chaim. And the Mogen Avraham says, the psak of the Mogen Avraham is that he brings down the Aguda. The Aguda says that you're called, we say an oinus at the end is not called an oinus. And he proves it from our sugya. Basically asking our question. We had a question. What was our question? That if it's true, that really it's only a loan, and at the end of 12 months, by you not redeeming it, you're making it into a sale. And now this guy, who I'm supposed to redeem it by, takes off or buries himself somewhere. Why does the sale activate? It shouldn't be my fault. So the Aguda says, you know what? It is your fault. Because you have up to 12 months to redeem it. The fact that you waited till the end, it's your fault. Right? So clearly the Aguda, I think, was trying to answer our question. Basically, the way the Aguda learns, there's no steer in the sugyas. Taka, the sugya on Lamed Aleph, says that it's alone, and it still has, it's pending activation. The activation is you not redeeming it for 12 months, and you really didn't redeem it for 12 months, because the fact is you waited till the 11th hour, and then an oinus happened. We don't recognize 11th hour oinus. An 11th hour oinus is not an oinus. It's not an oinus. That's the way the Agud is learning. Okay, but the Mogen Avraham says, I don't know what he's talking about. Mogen Avraham says, the sale is a sale. The sale happened right away. And now you didn't redeem it back, so it's, what does it have to do with davening? So L'chayre, this is the machlokes between the Mogen Avraham and the Aguda. The Aguda wants to bridge the two sugyas and say, you know what, it's not a steer. It's really a loan. And now you got to activate it. And still, even though you were an oinus at the end, so what? The fact is, you weren't an oinus until the end, so you, it's too bad. It's too bad. You brought the oinus upon yourself, it's not called an oinus. So that seems to be, it seems to be the Mogen Avraham. Now, so the Aguda would work. The problem is, la'alocha, we don't paskin like the Aguda. And we paskin generally that an oinus be yom acharon, we paskin is an oinus. And in fact, they asked us on the Aguda. So we're really back to our problem as to what's going on. Now, another proof that this is like a loan is from Tosfos and Gittin. Because Tosfos and Gittin says he doesn't understand why Hillel HaZaken had to be misaken that I could pay you against your will. Why is it different than any Piroin Choyv? That's what Tosfos asks in Maseches Gittin. Whenever you have a loan, if I come to you at the end of the time and I want to pay you and you say no, I could force you to take the money. I don't think this happens to too many people. But if I borrow $100,000 from you and you don't want to take it, I could stuff it in your pocket and it's paid up. I'm not chayv and achrayus anymore. So Tosfos asks, why did Hillel HaZaken have to be misaken? That you could pay a guy bal korcha? Of course you could pay a guy bal korcha. It's like a peroin chayv. Now, if Tosfos held that it's a sale, then Tosfos has no cash. Because a sale you can't force. So Tosfos seems to also go in that direction, which would fit according to one of these two tzadikim in Tosfos. So, if we look in Shulchan Aruch, in Chayshim Mishpat, we see a very interesting halach in Siman Reish Zayin. Because one thing I'll tell you clearly, when you see two approaches that don't work, it has to be that there's a third approach. We see that the loan approach alone can't work wholesomely. And the sale approach wholesomely can also not work, because then we're left with the problem, it's not ribbis. So there's got to be a different approach. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch brings down in Siman Reish Zayin a question, if you make a kinyan, if you make a kinyan for a set amount of time, basically like you're giving yourself the right to redeem, to buy it back. But this is not talking about Batei Arichayma. This is a man-made Batei Arichayma arrangement. Okay? So the Shulchan Aruch reads as follows. Mochar Kaka. This is in Siman Reish Zayin. Sivov. Mochar Kaka. V'hisna moicher shiach zirenu loy kishiyi loy mois. And the seller went, and he said, I want to be able to redeem it back. You have to give it back. Now, this is mamish batei arichayma. This is batei arichayma. Just here, you did it yourself. The Torah didn't do it for you. So you built in an arrangement. I could redeem it back when I want. Says the Shulchan Aruch, lefikach osur leloikeach lecho peres. The Havi Anach Zuzik Alvo. You hear the Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch Paskins, this is Hilchas Mekach Omemke, this is not Hilchas Alvo. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that if I sell you my property, and I build in a condition that I can redeem it back, I'm not allowed to eat, you are not allowed to eat Paris, because it'll be ribbis. So it seems the Shulchan Aruch is completely siding with the Nesivos. Completely. The Shulchan Aruch seems to be saying that this redemption makes that it's a non-sale. Okay, granted, this is not Batei Arichayma. This is a created Batei Arichayma. You created the scenario yourself. We're talking about Bizman Hazeh, it's not Batei Arichayma. But it seems to be that the Shulchan Aruch holds that it's inconsistent to say you own it and I could redeem it. Because otherwise the Shulchan Aruch should have no problem. I sold you my field, it's yours. I could redeem it, so I could redeem it. What's the... Now, if you want to know, where did the Shulchan Aruch get this from? Our sugi. Mamish, our sugi. Many years on this halacha, where did Shulchan Aruch get this from? It's a big chiddush, the Shulchan Aruch saying it. I sold you my property, I had a lawyer, I had a contract, I filed a deed, I just put in that I could redeem it. Why is it ribbis? The Shulchan Aruch says now, if you go and you eat Paris, it's ribbis. Because then when I redeem the field back, it's like you lent me money and you got fruit on top of the loan. Why is that ribbis? The mucker of this halach and the Shulchan Aruch is our sugya. Because our sugya by Batei Arichayma says that it's ribbis. Why? It's a sale. You see, for some reason that we don't call it a sale. Don't know why not, but it seems to be we don't call it a sale. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. The next halach in Shulchan Aruch, Siv Zayin, Mochal Lo Stam. What happens if I sold you the field, Stam? V'omal Lo Yalekech Midaitoi, Kishiyil Omois, you have money, then it's okay. Ani Yachzal Kakok. Okay, that's another case. Now, Mi Shehikne Lo Yachaveroi. He went ahead and he sold his friend and he said like this. The Kovoy's man, he made a set time. He said that at this time, if I give you back a Shehit and Amois, then I should buy the field back. Exactly like the other case, just there was a time given. I'm selling you my... The first case I said, listen, I'm selling you my field and I'm leaving a right to redeem it. The next case the Shulchan Aruch gives is I'm selling you a field, but I'm giving a slot. This is when it could be redeemed. There the Shulchan Aruch decides, no. Hare ze mekach. That's all. It's a mekach. So it seems to be, and over there the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say any ribbis issue. What's the difference between these two things? It's obvious that there's a major difference. The Shulchan Aruch holds that when I impose an endless redemption period, when I say I'm selling you a piece of property and I could redeem this property back whenever I want, Shulchan Aruch holds that that's not coherent with the concept of a sale. That doesn't work together. I'll tell you why. Every time you acquire something, the definition that it's yours, it's that it's under your reshus. It's in my domain. That's the definition of ownership. It's in my domain. In fact, the Chassam Sofer says that a kinyan is like kibush. It's like conquering something. I take it over. It's mine now. Just like when you conquer land, it's in your domain. When I buy it, it's a form of conquering it. It's mine now. I took it over. Right? If I, the seller, maintains an everlasting right to take it back from you, you are not called the conqueror of that property. It's not in your domain. Because I forever have the ability to remove it from you. Memelis felt it's missing in your kingdom. You can't tell me I established some kind of ownership here. Because just like the Gemara says in a get, the same concept. If I tell a woman, Hareat Mukureshisli, right? Almanashali Telchi Lubes Ovich La'olam. Could never go to your father's house. It's not a good get. Why? Because a get by definition is krisis. A get by definition has to create a cutting, separation. If this woman is forever meshubah to you, she's not divorced. You're missing in the maisa gerishin. It's not a get. So in a way, it's missing in the mice again. It's not a get at all. It's not like a side, so like the get was written Shaloi Lishmo. It's not a get. The definition of a get is that it's been established that me and you are no longer connected. Some people have a problem. They can't do that. They constantly go back to each other. So it's a felton get. It's not a get. A get by definition means finished. No connection. And if in the get there's a condition that ties these two people together, it's not a get. So I want to tell you the same thing is by mechira. If I sell something to you, and within the sale I have an everlasting right to buy it back, you didn't take over my property. No! The second case in the Shulchan Aruch was forever. We'll get to us. That's what Shulchan Aruch is talking about forever. That's why the Shulchan Aruch holds that in this case there would be it's not called a sale, and therefore the money that you're holding is loan money, and therefore the fruit that you're eating is ribbis. Because by definition, you didn't buy my property. Now, clearly the Shulchan Aruch holds, but if it's just a set amount of time, it's a set amount of time, then already it's okay. That's blatantly clear, the chiluk in these two cases in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not a shaila. But the shaila I want to analyze here is like this. Why is it that for the first 12 months, let's say the deal is for 12 months you could redeem it back. Why does the Shulchan Aruch consider it that it's yours for 12 months? For the same reason that we say that if the property is forever in a state that you could redeem it back, it's not called a sale. Why doesn't the Shulchan Aruch then take the same lumdus and say, you know what? And if it's for 12 months, so for 12 months it's not yours. You follow? Using the same lumdus. In other words, why don't we say, listen, in 12 months it'll become a sale? In 12 months it'll be a sale? It's not a sale now? Just like we're saying that if I sell you the property and I say forever I could redeem it, doesn't work. It's not a sale. Why? Because the fact that I have an everlasting right to be paid makes that you're not called a bailin. Why don't we say the same thing for 12 months? If I say, listen, for 12 months I could redeem it, so for those 12 months, I have not forfeited my bailin. And therefore you don't own it.
The only active sale happened on day one. That was the only time anybody did it. I sold it on day one.
So then it shouldn't work at all, maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'm open for that. I'm open to say kolsa kinyana. Like if I tell you pick something up today, you should own it in a year. Doesn't work at all. I'm open to that, David. If you want to say, you know what, we can't do that because if you don't own it for the first year, you don't own it at all. I'm open for that too. But I want to know, how do you own it for the first 12 months? If conceptually the fact that the other guy has a right to redeem it makes that you're not called a bailin, it should be the same thing, logically. I believe that the answer is simple. The answer is that when we make, if it's everlasting, so then conceptually, it's not a kinyan. Just like a get. Somebody gives a get and he says, you know what? Forever you can't drink wine. It's not a good get. Let's say he says, you know what? You can drink wine in 30 days from now. It's a good get. When is it a good get? Now. Right now, I offered the Yidl maybe $1,000 to give me a teretz. I asked him a shayla l'halocha. How much?
Five.
Now up to $5,000. So, somebody gives his wife a get on the condition that she doesn't drink wine for 30 days. The halocha is that the get is chal now, and she can't drink wine for 30 days. It's chal, because the get will lead to an ultimate separation. In 30 days, she's free. That's good enough. So the get works right away. She's not allowed to drink wine for 30 days. So my shaila was like this. The guy divorced his wife. He made it tonight. She can't drink wine for 30 days. She went and got married. She's allowed to get married. Then she becomes a chayla sheyesh bo sakana. She needs wine. But now if she's going to drink wine, the get is going to be bottled. She'll be an Eishes Ish. She'll be an Eishes Ish as Insa. So is there Yaharek Val Yava for her not to drink wine, which will then make the get not a get, which will then make her into an Eishes Ish as Insa? You got the Shaila. So it's up for grabs. I'll give it to anybody, the prize. But I just want to know if there's a Raya that there would be a Yaharek Val Yava on this type of a thing where the action that you're doing is not a Rayas, but by drinking the wine, you're making retroactively that the beer was Arayas. But anyway, Al Kaponim, there it works. Why does it work? Because conceptually, a get was established. So, if I sell you something and I say, listen, in 30 days, this, I can't redeem it back anymore. In a year, I can't redeem it back. So at least, conceptually, I'm giving up my rights. In a year from now, my rights are going to be gone. Right? So for that year, temporarily, we look at it the other way around. We look at it like you, the buyer, are giving me the right to redeem it. Because you're ultimately the one that's going to have the kinyan aguf. So my ability to redeem it now for the first 30 days is almost like the buyer is giving me that right. I'll give you a marshal. If let's say I sell a property and I say, oh, tonight I could walk on the property. That's not a problem. Why don't we say it's a chesor and bailus? Forever. Let's say I sell you property, I say, listen, there's a path. I'm making a condition, I want to always be able to use the path. It still works. I'm always going to be able, because we look at it like it's his property, and he's letting you walk on the path. That's why it's not a steerer with bailus. But in a case where I say forever you could redeem the field back, then my bailus has never been established. Now, batei orechayma is nishtahin and nishtahel. Because it's not forever, you can only not redeem it for a year. It's only a year. Right? That's number one. But the year that you have to redeem it is not coming from him. The Torah gave me that right. You follow? It's not pshat that this is an arrangement between me and him. So now we could look at it like I'm giving him the field. He's giving me a right to redeem it. No. There's an imposed restriction on his ownership for the first 12 months. Memela our Gemara holds, that's a chesor and bailus. That is a chesor and bailus. That's why it's called ribbis. The reason why it's called ribbis is because for these 12 months, the restriction, the ability that I have to redeem it back is given by the Torah. So it comes out that you, the buyer, have not conquered, have not taken over the field yet because the Torah gave the original owner the right to take it back. So your bailus has not been established for the first 12 months. That's why the Gemara brings down the concept that it's kiribis. And even according to one side, it's ribis gemura for the first 12 months. Because this, itak, if you made this deal with the guy outside of the realm of the Torah, it wouldn't be a problem. Because then we would view it that you're giving him your rights today and he's giving you a schus to redeem it. But it's not the way it's working. The way it's working is it's almost like the Torah saying, for the first year, you can't take over the property. In other words, now that we're defining that if the original owner has a right to redeem it, you're lacking in your kibush of taking over the property. So here the Torah said, for 12 months, can't be taken over. So now it's a chesor and bailus for those 12 months. That's why the Gemara holds, it has a din of ribbis. Ribbis Gemura, it's like ribbis, that the Gemara says it's sad, it's like ribbis Gemura. Because of the fact that the restriction of your bailus on the property is coming from the Torah. Because you don't have a right to make that deal. Meaning, let's say you would say, no, you know what? I don't let you redeem it back in 12 months. You, the buyer, tell me, you know what? Forget it. I'm not masking. Batei not masking. Doesn't matter. So we can't look at it like you're giving me that right. That's the difference. In Reish Zion, in the Shulchan Aruch, you're giving me the right. You could sit by the cell and go, you know what? No deal. Not masking. So then we look at it like you're giving me the right. But here, you could sit there pounding your fist on the table. I'm not masking. It's too bad. So now the pshat is, so I didn't take over the property till the end of that year. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch holds its kiribis. Because now those 12 months are very much like the guy who has the everlasting right to redeem his field back. Who have for 12 months? Same thing? That's why the Gemara views this as alvor. Now, however, now what happens at the end of the 12 months? At the end of the 12 months, really, what's happening now is that your original kinyan that you made is being invigorated. That's why the Gemara held, just a pshat in the Gemara held that this is not the reason why 12 months it's considered a loan. And until now, we looked at it as two approaches. One approach is me and you are engaged in a loan. The other approach is me and you are engaged in a sale. And that's what introduced all the problems. Now I'm telling you something entirely different. Me and you are engaged in a sale. But for the first year, the sale can't materialize because the Torah didn't allow the buyer to take over the land. So his ownership, the sale that he did 12 months before, cannot fully materialize till the end. But once it materializes at the end, now he doesn't, it's not a new kinyan. It just removes the other person's infringement on my bialis. So that's why, even if that was an oinus, it would still work. Because it's not, till now it was black and white, either it's a sale or it's a loan. Well, our problem was if it's a sale, then what's the problem? It's done. If it's a loan, so then why should, if he's an oinus, it shouldn't be chal. The answer is, it's a sale. But there is a transfer issue. There's a technical issue that has to be resolved for you to become the new owner. And that is, as long as this guy has the right to redeem it back, you're lacking in your kibush. So you don't need his das. It's not his das. You follow? It's just removing the lack of transferability. So all I need is that that time should expire. Once the time expires, so now there isn't a lack of transferability, now it's chal. So it's not, he, what's happening is like this. Reuven is coming to me and saying, I'm selling my field 100%. I have full das today. Today, not tomorrow. I have full das today to sell you my property. It's yours. And you made a kinyan on the property. Full das. But now we have a different problem. Have you acquired the land? Have you acquired the land? I'll give you a mashal. A guy, this is the easiest way to understand it. I'm selling you a sefer. We spoke Shabbos by Riches about the kinyan of metalkalin. Metalkalin, you have to do agbor. Umeshich. You can't be kind of with kesef. Okay? So I come over to you and I say, here's $100, and now I'm going to be kind of the sefer. I'm going to pick up the sefer. You agree. Right? So once I give you the $100, and now I start picking up the sefer, and you go, no, it's, I don't want you to buy it. It's too bad. Why is it too bad? Because you already machayev yourself to me that I could buy it. I just have to finish doing the action. It's like the guy's in the middle of doing his meshicha, and you go, I'm not maskim. You're not a bialim not to be maskim. If our deal is, you know what, I'll decide while you do the meshicha if I want, I could stop in the middle of the meshicha, go up, stop. But if I already was engaged in a contract with you, giving you the right to do the meshicha, and now you're in the middle of the meshicha and I say, I'm not maskim. It doesn't matter if you're maskim or not maskim. You're an oinus. Doesn't play a role. So the way we're learning now is those 12 months is not an added deal between the buyer and the seller. Really, the buyer and the seller finished their deal initially. But since the Torah imposed a 12-month redemption process, so until that process expires, you are missing in your ownership. Because of the fact that this guy has an ability to redeem it that the Torah gave him. But he's not activating the kinyan at all. The kinyan was done completely. There was something missing in the kinyan. There was this piece that was missing. And that piece that was missing now came to conclusion. So that's why the money can't be called May Mekach till this period expires. And that's why it's called Halvah. On the other hand, the expiration doesn't require the das of the one who sold it. There's no shaykhis then. It's like a side issue that has to be resolved. So that issue was resolved. So what? You're still chayiv in shmira. That's no different if I give my property to somebody to watch. You know what I mean? You're right. Technically, you're right. So this is what I think the approach in our sugya has to be to mataritz really all the ha'aris, is that this is really, clearly it's a sale, and that we see from the next sugya. Clearly we see that for the first 12 months the Gemara views the money as halvah, which is like the nesivas. And the way we're bridging the gap is we're saying that those 12 months are needed not to complete the transaction between Reuven and Shimon, but rather to remove the aspect here that's blocking the kinyan from completing itself. It's almost a natural occurrence that has to happen. It's not a completion of the agreement between Reuven and Shimon. If it would be, then you would need das between Reuven and Shimon. But it's not between Reuven and Shimon. That's a very good shiloh. This is gonna answer, well, I wasn't gonna go into this, but this really is gonna answer another question. If the guy goes Lamaisa now and he redeems it within the 12 months. So the way we're learning now, the sale was never a sale. The sale was never a sale. Now what do we gain with this? We gain a tremendous amount. The Rambam and many, many of the Achronim are mashma. What happens if the price of the house changes? I don't have to tell you that. Everybody knows that that happens. So the house was worth $500,000 when you sold it. And now when you deem it back, it's worth $250,000. Okay. What price do you pay? $500,000 or $250,000? The sugya doesn't talk about it. Believe it or not, this is such a basic shaila. By stay achuza, we had it. The Gemara brought psukim, that you go by the lower price. It's exeris hakasuv, whatever it is. You go by the lower price. By bate or rechoyma, you're not going to find any zecha. What do you do? And there's a basic shaila. What happens if the price of the house goes down? The house goes up. How do you redeem it back? So the Rambam is mashma, that you always have to give him his full money back. And the hamaknin kedushin. Ask this kasha, your kasha. Well, he asks, what do you mean? It should be evaluated. I want to say, no, the way we're learning, it's not a kasha. The house going up or down in value is irrelevant because the sale never materialized. So now that money turned into... Yeah. The sale never materialized. That's why the element of yukra vizula doesn't play a role. That would explain it. Okay, we'll stop here.